Sanjay Kumar teaches in the bioengineering department of UC Berkeley. His lab investigates how cells sense and process mechanical forces, particularly from the extracellular matrix. And they're especially interested in studying this in relation to the nervous system, looking at the control of self-renewal and differentiation in neural stem cells and the growth of malignant brain tumours. I asked Dr. Kumar why the matrix is so important in controlling the growth of cancerous cells.
I think it's one of the most exciting and in some ways unexpected developments in cell biology over the past 10 to 20 years. One cannot know everything there is to know about cells simply by knowing their genome and by knowing the soluble signals, the sorts of growth factors and inhibitory factors they're exposed to, what they're attached to, and not just the biochemical identity of what they're attached to, but the mechanical properties of what they're attached to turn out to be very, very important. And if you think about why that might be, cells have specific receptors on their surfaces that bind these molecules in the extracellular matrix. And these things transduce signals, and the degree to which they transduce signals depends on very physical parameters, like the degree to which they're clustered, for example, the ease with which they can be brought together, can recruit proteins on the interior surface of the cell. And so in some ways, then, in retrospect, it kind of makes sense that the composition and physical properties of the matrix itself should influence cell behavior. And certainly, observations every day in the lab working with cells make this even less surprising. So some cells need to, for example, be attached to a surface in order to grow. They don't grow if they're detached. So many normal cells, once they grow to such a degree that they make contact with one another, they'll stop growing and remain as a quiescent monolayer. But cancer cells often are distinguished by the fact they lose this contact inhibition. And tumor cells are also often capable of growing on very soft surfaces that regular cells are not. In fact, this is a very old assay used to select tumor cells called the soft agar assay. Non-tumorigenic cells don't normally grow on this material, soft agar, but tumorigenic cells do.
They've lost their adhesion properties.
Yeah, in a sense, they've lost the degree to which they depend on adhesion to a support in order to grow.
And do you understand why they lose that?
Well, I think the whole field is trying to come to grips with this question. And as I was saying, I think part of the key is that the signaling that essentially emanates from the receptors on the cell surface that recognize these extracellular matrix molecules depends to a great degree on their physical state of association. And this has consequences for every signal that sort of follows downstream. So, for example, a cell sitting on a very soft substrate, because the material is very soft, it won't be able to support large forces that the cell is capable of generating. And so the cell is limited in how much stress or strain it can impose on the substrate. And this, in turn, affects force-dependent molecules that are present inside the cell. So there are some mechanosensors, some of whose identities we know, some of which we don't know, whose activities, biochemical activities, are very strongly dependent on mechanical force. You can imagine a cell sitting on a very stiff substrate might have the opposite situation. It's capable of exerting great forces on the substrate because the substrate can withstand it. And so it would differentially activate these mechanosensitive molecules and lead to sort of cell-wide changes in biochemistry.
Now, are you talking about these very stiff substrates in terms of what you put cells on in the lab? In other words, how reasonable is it to use these stiff substrates?
I think that's an outstanding question. So the vast majority of cell biology is done with either tissue culture polystyrene or with glass, which is extremely stiff material and is much, much stiffer in particular than what one normally finds in physiology. So tissues are typically something like 1,000 to 1 million times less stiff or softer than what we use in the lab. And I think the field of cell biology has kind of come to grips with the idea that this fundamentally changes the biology of the cells. And sort of a sister problem to that is that cells in the body often exist in three-dimensional microenvironments. So they're surrounded on all sides by other cells, by extracellular matrix. And this, by and large, is not how we do cell biology in the lab. It's two-dimensional substrates, and there are many reasons why we do this. It's easier. It's more reproducible in some sense. There are fewer things that we have to worry about. But the challenge is, I think, translating what we learn in these very simplified, stripped-down experimental systems to what we actually expect in a physiologic setting.
So now there are moves afoot, I guess, to try and do these experiments in 3D.
Absolutely, yeah. So a huge challenge in the field is to develop platforms that essentially enable one to do cell biology in a high-throughput, low-cost, very reproducible fashion in three-dimensional matrices so that one can have some of the advantages we normally enjoy with two-dimensional substrates, but perhaps at the same time have a context that's a little bit closer to the living organism.